And now, live from Jerusalem, you're listening to Israel Inspired Radio. Here are your hosts, Rabbis Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel.
Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Israel Inspired on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. This is Jeremy Gimpel. Ari Abramowitz is on a lecture tour all throughout North America. He was in New Mexico. He was in California. I think he's on a plane now on his way to New York for the weekend. I'm flying out to Australia Saturday night. And so it's just me today. But let me tell you, there is so much going on here in the Land of Israel, particularly at the Land of Israel headquarters. You know, this week has been a historic week. Just something of biblical proportions is going down. To see it is to believe it, because if I tell it to you, you can't really grasp it until you actually see the videos. So I actually took some video footage and put it up on my Facebook page on the Land of Israel and on Jeremy Gimpel's Facebook page. And let me tell you, 10 Germans, non-Jews from a Christian background, landed in the Land of Israel. I rented them an apartment in Neve Daniel, and they came to help us build our center in the heart of Judea. They were on their hands and knees from sunrise until sundown. They worked like Germans. Exact. I mean, they told me, Jeremy, pick us up at 7:15. And me, of course, the Jew that's kind of rolling out of bed at 7:17, I called them. I said, hey, where are you guys? They're like, we are in the car waiting for you. Just like perfect timing, exact on time. They got there on site, and I hadn't had time to daven yet. And so I put on my tallit and I put on my tefillin, and I walked up to the second floor of where our synagogue and Beit Midrash, our yeshiva for the nations, is going to be. And I sat there and I pulled out my guitar and I started praying Psukei Dezimra, the beginning of the morning prayers, which is really verses of song. That's what Psukei Dezimra means. And if you go to most shuls, people could say it's Psukei de mumbling, but the truth is it's meant to be sung. So I do my very best every morning to sing the first section of the tefillah, of the prayers. And the Germans heard it, and I'm sitting with my tallit and my tefillin on, and they are not working. They're running, skipping, dancing as they're working in our center. And I'm looking down upon them, and I'm praying for them, and I'm praying for the center, and I'm praying for the Jewish people. And I'm just thanking God for allowing my eyes to see this happening in my lifetime. Where just decades ago, the Germans were our worst enemy, perhaps the worst enemy we've ever had. 6 million of us, they systematically annihilated mercilessly. And now the righteous among the German people are coming to the Land of Israel asking for nothing, just coming here to serve Israel, to help us reclaim our promised land in what the world would call the West Bank, and of course what we call Judea. And they said it themselves, if Jews can't live in Judea, where can they live? This is our opportunity to do teshuva, to atone for what our parents and grandparents did. And the whole week, as I was out there at the center, we would have lunch together. We would be learning together. Every day I brought either a rabbi to come and teach them or I taught them. And I just felt like pinching myself. I was like, is this actually happening? Is this real? Ha'inu kecholmim. That's what it says in the Psalms. As we return to the Land of Israel, we will be like dreamers. It looked as if we were just living a dream where German Gentiles and Jews were working together. We're praying together. We're learning together. We're volunteering our time, giving of our efforts to help build Israel. And the truth is, when we started building up the Land of Israel headquarters, we didn't exactly know what we were building. And we knew that we wanted to establish the first Torah center for everyone, for the Jew, for the non-Jew, anyone that wants to come and experience the Land of Israel, experience the Torah of Israel in the land, there should be a place for them where it doesn't matter what your background is, what your affiliation is, what your denomination is, who your parents were. None of that should matter. There should be a place in Israel that if you want to learn Torah, you should be invited. So we knew we wanted it to be a center for learning. We knew that we wanted people to meet the people in the land of Israel and not just go on a tour. We wanted them to meet the rabbis. We wanted them to meet the activists, to meet the thinkers, to meet all of the incredible teachers here on the Land of Israel Network. We knew we had a faculty that was built in to what this Torah center would be. But now we're realizing that this is a center also to serve Israel, that people from around the world will be able to come here and give of their time, because not everyone has enough money to, you know, cut a $100,000 check to build an orphanage, but everyone can give of their time to build with their hands and their knees. And just last night, we hosted them in my home in Neve Daniel. We had like a celebratory dinner to say thank you. And all of my kids said they wanted so much to thank them that we all got together. I had my acoustic guitar and Lavi had his electric guitar and Eden got on her, you know, keyboard and Akiva had his flute. And we all sang a song for them, because in a song, we're able to sort of transcend the language barrier, because most of the time I had to speak with a translator because these Germans don't know English really. They don't know Hebrew really. So one way or another, we needed a translator in between us. But with music, that transcends any type of language barrier. In fact, in the temple, if there wasn't music playing, if the Levites weren't on, the temple services stopped. If the Levites needed to take a coffee break, then the sacrifice stopped until the music was back on. And in my home, just saying thank you, folks, I'm not exaggerating, but man, people were crying. It was so moving and so touching seeing two of these peoples from such radical backgrounds coming together in love, under the canopy of morality of the Torah. It was so beautiful. It was like a dream. And then I started to realize that, listen, these Germans here, from what I understand, they're Christians. And Christians and Jews are not the same. And Christians have a certain theology. And Jews have a certain theology. And as a Jew, I think Christian theology is wrong. And they, as Christians, look at the Jewish theology and think we're mistaken. And it's true. And those lines don't need to be blurred. But what I realized as I was working together and bringing my children together to the farm and bringing my parents to see it and bringing my friends to see it, and I brought Rav Daniel, my rabbi from Bat Ein, to come and see it with his own eyes, and he taught them and he blessed them with the blessing of the priest, as he is a priest himself. But what I saw is people can be different in their theologies, but what happened there on that center, in our center, was that people came together not in theology, but in ideology. Yes, Jews and Christians have a machloket, we have a dispute, the identity of Mashiach. But in that moment, to put that aside and to say, whoever we think Mashiach is, what would Mashiach ask of us to do? How are we supposed to act? What is the ideology and the vision we should be working towards? And in that we can be united. That's a meeting ground between the Jew and between someone that comes from a Christian background. And I've been talking about this with a lot of my non-Jewish friends. I've been talking about it with Ari and with Ishai. And I've been talking about it with our friends at HaYovel, trying to articulate and to come out with what is happening in the world. Something new is upon us. This unification of diversity that's happening between the new Jew and the non-Jew, it hasn't been seen ever before, and something new is being born. And we believe that we can't create a new religion, and we don't want to create a new denomination of Judaism, but perhaps a new vision of Zionism. There's secular Zionism, and there's religious Zionism, and there's post-Zionism, and there's cultural Zionism. But Ari and I have been talking about a long time. I mean, this goes back more than 10 years. An idea of biblical Zionism, an ideology of principles, of morals, of values, of a common vision that all of us can stand behind, all of us can meet behind shoulder to shoulder, instead of butting heads over the identity of who the Mashiach is. We put that aside and we say, whoever you think Mashiach is, what do you think Mashiach would want? What do you think we're supposed to be doing in these times that we're living in? And now Ari's traveling around America spreading this message. I'm off to Australia with a Zionist message to the Jewish people, and I'll even be meeting a few non-Jewish communities along the way. But this is the time. We are living in historic times of biblical proportions. We are living at the 50th year of the reunification of Jerusalem. Something is going on. The happiness and joy that was generated in our center in that week, the people that it touched and moved. I brought my parents there, and they could not believe it, seeing Germans on their hands and knees paving and building blocks and helping us create our center that will be a blessing for Israel. I mean, my father's mother had six sisters, and my grandmother, my father's mother, escaped to Israel, and she even went back to Romania in the middle of, like, as the Germans were coming in, and she said, please get out now. And my grandmother's sisters said, no, it's exaggerated. That's happening in Germany. It's not really happening here. And a long story short, my grandmother made it out on the last boat to leave Romania right before the Germans came in and occupied Romania. And the rest of my family was never to be seen again. And the Germans, who took away so much of my extended family, people from Germany now coming to help the Jewish people in our weakest area, in Judea, in the place that belongs to the Jews more than any other place, in the place that the world wants to take away from us. To see that is such joy, because what is simcha? Simcha is living the experience of love. And when you're living the experience of love, that's where joy is. In fact, people say, oh, what do I have to do to be happy? No, no, no. The natural state of existence is happiness. The question is, what's getting in the way? If we just let God reign, and we bring God in between us, and we bring God over us and under us and all around us, then what happens there is love, and what happens there is joy. And what's so beautiful about the movement of Zionism, the movement of the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel and the righteous among the nations that are joining us on this mission, is that Zionism is not complicated. It's very practical. My grandfather walked from Russia to Israel in 1915. And when he walked here, he planted trees. That was his job. He was draining the swamps around the Galilee. Zionism is practical. We need to build homes. We need to plant trees. We need to expand our borders as much as we can. It's simple actions that make the difference ultimately. We've now planted over 700 olive trees in the Land of Israel headquarters. One day I'm going to die. And one day, whoever's listening to this, you're going to die too. But those olive trees, those are going to last longer than us. That center, that's going to last longer than us. The simple actions of putting stone on top of stone, of digging a hole in the ground and planting and reclaiming our land and making the land revive and bringing life back to the barren hills of Judea are the practical steps that are paving the way for Mashiach to come. You know, this week's Torah portion is the parasha of Noah. And of course, this is the first covenant with humanity. And the first covenant with humanity, the sign was the sign of the rainbow. And how tragic it is that that beautiful sign has been hijacked by a movement that in fact breaks the covenant of Noah. But what does the rainbow really signify? That it's not meant to be a mishmashed movement in the Messianic era. Not everyone is supposed to be Jews, but there's something about inside humanity, we want everyone to be like us. So the Nazis said, if you're not an Aryan, we will kill you. Muslims say, if you're not a Muslim, we will kill you. Just a couple of hundred years ago, the Catholic Crusaders said, if you don't accept the love of our Savior, we will kill you. Everyone must be the same. And then comes the covenant of Noah. It says there's a rainbow here. They're nations, and every nation is meant to be distinct, its own special color. In fact, the more colors, the more splendid the rainbow is. They're meant to be Jews, and there's meant to be the nations. And we're not meant to come into each other's territory. We're meant to complement each other, to illuminate each other, to help each other grow. Ishai Fleischer just told me such a beautiful Torah the other day. This is a midrash that says that the animals, when they got and they finally left the teva, they left the ark, the animals didn't want to go out. They wanted to stay in the teva because, oh my goodness, what's outside? Who knows? It's the unknown. And just as the Jews didn't want to enter into the land of Israel, they loved living in the clouds of glories. Most of us don't want to leave our comfort zone. But it takes that step to break free from what we're used to, from what we've been accustomed to, from what we're comfortable with. The Jewish people on our end have to step out of our comfort zone and embrace the nations that are coming to learn from us. I mean, in America, I drive through the streets and sometimes I'll see homeless people holding up these signs that say, "We'll work for food." Folks, there are non-Jews out there that are holding up signs saying, "We'll work for Torah. Come and teach us Torah, and we will come to your land, and we will work for free. We'll bless you. We'll want to do whatever we can to be a part of what you're building in the land of Israel. Just come and teach us how to pray like the prophets prayed. Teach us how to learn Torah the way the prophets taught the Jewish people that have been passed down from generation to generation." People are realizing that the Jewish people have a sacred treasure that we've held on to for thousands of years. But now it's time to share the wealth. It's time for us to step out of our comfort zone and to open it up for the nations that are coming to seek. Because it's not going to be all the nations. In fact, the nations on a national level will probably turn against Israel. But within countries like Germany and within states like Texas, there are going to be righteous individuals that go against the grain of their society that say, "No, no, no. I'm not with the mainstream. I'm with Israel. And I want to learn the Torah. And I want to live like the Jewish people lived and how they've lived for thousands of years." And so for the non-Jews that are stepping out of their comfort zones, that are sort of taking a step away from the paganism of the past and entering into a covenant with God based on God's will and not man's inventions, that's out of their comfort zone. But we have to meet those righteous non-Jews on the way and see the blessing that comes of it. Folks, what happened this week in the Land of Israel headquarters was something of historic proportions, that Jews and Germans were coming together, working together, learning together. If we just needed just an extra couple of days and we would have had Shabbat together. I mean, something is going on, and if you can't feel it and you can't see it, that means your heart is closed and your eyes have been blinded. And that, in fact, is the last message of this week's Torah portion. At the end of this week's Torah portion, we first encounter Abraham. And most people think we encounter Abraham in next week's Torah portion, where God calls on to Abraham and says, "Go forth to yourself to the land that I will show you." But actually, in the end of this week's Torah portion, we meet Abraham. And he's told that he starts off in a place called Ur, somewhere around Iraq. And he says, he moves on his way to Canaan. He's already on his way to Canaan, it says, before God tells him, "Lech Lecha," before God says, "Go forth from yourself." And on his way to Canaan, he stops in a place called Haran, about halfway along the way. And there he settles his camp. Now, why does the Torah tell us that part of the story? Maybe it's the most important message. One of the most impactful books on my life was a book called God in Search of Man, written by Abraham Joshua Heschel. And he says the people do not understand the entire paradigm of the Bible. It says that the whole story of the Bible is God in search of man, calling out to man without piercing the veil, without taking away our free will, without dominating us in a way that doesn't allow us a full expression of individuality. But God is calling out to us all of the time, just waiting for us to respond, waiting for us to open our eyes, waiting for us to open our hearts. And Abraham, he's living in this place in Iraq, and he's looking around. He's like, "I don't know." But if you looked at Abraham, he looked like everyone else around him. He talked like everyone else around him. He wouldn't even stand out in a crowd. You look around the world today and you see these people. They just look like Europeans. They just look like Americans. They talk like Americans. They dress like Americans. You couldn't pick them out in a crowd, and something's going on inside them. And they say, "I look around this society and this is just not who I want to be. I don't feel comfortable here anymore. I got to get out of the city. I got to get out of here. I got to take away my television. I got to remove myself from People magazine and the toxic reality of the society around me." And Abraham, before he hears a direct call from God, already starts to remove himself. And on his way to Canaan, and he stops in Haran, and he starts already there, according to the Midrash, teaching people that there's a better way to be. He doesn't have all the answers yet. He hasn't had that full encounter with God yet, but he knows in his heart that there's something off around the society around him. Now, next week's Torah portion, that intuition becomes an audible instinct, where it's not just an intuition anymore, but it's an intuition with clear direction. Go forth to the land that I will show you. where eventually if we keep on cultivating that intuition and we keep on opening our hearts and opening our minds, listening, not with our ears, but listening inside our soul, listening to the intuition. Where is God guiding us? Where do we go? Where are we supposed to be? Historic things are happening now in the world. We see it before our eyes. Folks, we're entering into the 50th year of Jerusalem being reunified. This is the Jubilee year, and God is now calling us. Maybe the intuition isn't an audible intuition yet. It's not a direct command. But inside, stirring inside of us, God is calling out to man, calling out to us to soul search, to figure out where we're meant to be, where we're meant to go in this world. And to me, that is the most powerful message of the end of this week's Torah portion, that Hashem is calling out to us without breaking the veil. If we're just open to listening, we can be a part of some of the greatest things that God has ever done in the history of humanity. As the Jewish people have returned now for the third and final time to the land of Israel. So we're building up our center, and our center is going to be teaching the principles of biblical Zionism to the world. We're going to teach the world the ideology that Mashiach believes in, according to the Tanakh. We're going to be teaching the world what the role of the Jewish people is. What's the role of the nations in the Messianic era? What's the vision of Israel? What's the vision of the prophets that we need to be striving for? This is our opportunity. Folks, the next time you're in the land of Israel, you have got to come and see our center being built. Participate in it. Pick up some rocks with us. Come out to Judea and help us build this sneak preview into the Messianic era, where Jew and the righteous among the nation we'll be working together to fulfill God's dream on earth. And if you can't come to the land of Israel, that's okay. There's other ways you can be a part. You can think about us. You can pray about us. You can share this content with everyone you know. Post it on Facebook. Send it out to your email list. Get more friends enrolled on the Land of Israel Network. And of course, listen, we have volunteers that are helping us build the center now. So we've cut out a third of the cost from the labor. We've cut out the other third of the profit that a contracting company would make. But we still need to buy the materials. And although it's only 30% of the full cost, it still costs. If you want to participate with us and have your mark in the land of Israel, in the heart of Judea, then go to thelandofisrael.com and right there on the top right, click on the donate button and join us on our mission, because we need every single one of you to participate. Baruch Hashem, we have thousands of people around the world that are watching our videos, that are tuning into our podcasts, but we need you guys to not just listen, get active, become a part of what we're doing. Go to thelandofisrael.com, go to the donate page. It takes 5 minutes. And if everyone gives just a little bit, we'll make huge things happen. And now you fully join us. You participate with us. We're just the feet on the ground here, but we are now your messengers, and you're creating a reality in the land of Israel. So folks, thank you for helping us out. Thank you for helping us fulfill our mission. And thank you for tuning in and sharing the truth and beauty of Israel with the world. This is Jeremy Gimpel. I hope to see you guys soon. And you can always email me at jeremy@thelandofisrael.com. I'd love to hear from you. Hopefully soon, Ari and I will be back together on the air. But in the meantime, Shabbat Shalom.
Founded in 1902, World Mizrahi is a global, Torah-driven, community-focused educational organization committed to Jewish identity and destiny. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement.